It's actually great just to sit and listen to you all as you share fellowship one with another. A very warm welcome to you all this morning as we have our time of worship together. Nothing can separate us from God's love, as Paul reminds those worshipping in the church at Rome. Isn't that a great thought to realise that no matter where we are, what we're doing, the situation we find ourselves in, that God loves us and that nothing can separate us from that love. This morning, being bound together in communion by the work of the Holy Spirit has radical implications for our commitment to each other and to the nature of our sharing together. All born out of the love God has for us, and that love which holds us as a community together. And as part of our service today, we have an opportunity to express this fellowship and actually make it deeper. We are recommitting ourselves back to God and to each other as we move forward as a fellowship together. It's a visible symbol that we are there for one another. It's a sign in our hearts and lives that we're making ourselves freshly available to God for gospel service in his world. And we're also going to do something else that's special this morning. We're going to share in asking God to bless Kobe as Emma presents him before God this morning. So as we go through our service today, we'll share words together collectively, saying the words in bold as they appear on the screen as we go through our service together. So we begin this morning by not only recognising that God loves us, and there's actually nowhere we can go where we can escape that love. We recognise that we are gathered in this place. We gather together, and God has actually gathered us. So let's begin this morning by saying these words together. So God has made us a people. We have been shaped by God's will. Jesus calls us together. We meet in Jesus' name. And the Spirit binds us together and leads us into truth. I'm going to invite the worship group to come, and we are going to sing a couple of songs together to open our time of worship this morning. So if you're able, let's stand together and sing these songs together. We'll start with Blessed Be Your Name in the Land That Is Plentiful. Thank you, guys.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, when I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. When the darkness
Seats. I'm going to invite Emma and Kobe to come and join me as we just share in a short time of blessing. You're not shy. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome today Emma, and we welcome Kobe, her son, along with friends and family. Emma has come today to thank God for the gift of Kobe and to seek God's help in the upbringing of her child. Let's pray together. Living Lord, you are the source of all life. No one is born and no one dies without your knowledge or outside your love. We thank you for the life of Kobe and all the potential that rests in him. We also thank you for the love which brought him here and which continues to surround him today. We know how much he depends on those who care for him, how frail and small he is. But we believe that you will give Emma and the wider family all the wisdom, patience and skill which they need. We thank you for all the gifts and talents which will be revealed in Kobe as he grows older, and present him to you now with all our thanks and praise. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There's some words that many of us will know from Mark's Gospel, which read this. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on their heads, and he blessed them. So Emma, do you thank God for the gift of Kobe, and do you trust God to help you as you parent in your care for him? Will you try with God's help to share with Kobe your understanding of the Christian faith? Do you promise to surround Kobe with goodness, love, and respect? Kobe, who can you see here? Is there anybody here that you recognise? Can you see Granddad? Can you give him a wave? Can you give him a wave? No? Okay. So, as wider members of Kobe's family who are here today, will you help Emma as she brings up Kobe? And will you promise to surround him with all that is good and true? So Kobe, we rejoice, for you are a gift from God. Grow strong in the knowledge and love of God. We pray that one day you will be a disciple of Jesus Christ, following him through the waters of baptism and in a life of faithful witness. Bear the fruit of his spirit and live his great gift of love. Kobe, the Lord bless you and guide you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord look kindly on you and give you his peace. Amen. I'm going to say a final prayer before we let them sit down. Faithful God, in faith and hope, we entrust to you this child's future, his future life as it stretches out before him. Protect him in moments of danger. Reassure him in moments of doubt. Strengthen him as he passes from childhood to youth and from youth to the life of an adult. Surround him with your love, expressed in people who will care for him and give him those with whom that love can be shared. And grant that when understanding comes, he may confess you as his Lord and Saviour. We ask all this through his Son, Jesus. Amen. 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 I've got something for you. We're going to continue to think about us as a fellowship as we say some words together, thinking about our service here within these four walls and within the community that we find ourselves. We baptize those who repent and trust in Christ as Lord and Saviour. In baptism, we are called to be disciples who share in the death and resurrection of Christ. Through baptism, we are received into the church, the body of Christ, immersed into the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To know Christ is to follow him. To name him Lord is to obey him. Jesus calls us to be a gospel people. Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." He calls us to be a worshipping community, offering all to God in prayer. Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." He calls us to be a missionary people, making known the redeeming love of God. Jesus says, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." He calls us to be a sacrificial community, generously giving from what all God has given us. Jesus says, "Anyone who comes to me, I will never turn away." He calls us to be an inclusive community, sharing the hospitality of God's kingdom with all. Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to the poor." He calls us to be a prophetic community, challenging powers that oppress and values that corrupt. The young people are going to head for Sunday social now. I'm going to pray for them as they go. And I pray God will give them a great time as they go to their group this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all our young people. We thank you for them and for their lives. And as we have offered Kobe to you this morning, we offer all our young people to you, praying that you will bless them and help them in their time as they grow, and especially in their time this morning. Bless the leaders as they share a little of you with them and give them a great time as they share together. Bless us as we continue this morning. In your name I ask it. Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing this hymn. I serve a risen Saviour. He's in the world today. Please be seated. Let's come to God in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we come this morning knowing that you always hear us when we pray. And when we look around our world, we see much that is broken. In particular, we remember and pray for all those living in Los Angeles who have lost homes and loved ones. We pray for all those who are working in this area to help bring an end to the disaster and providing relief to those affected. Please help bring an end to this situation, bringing an end to the fires that are still causing so much distress and so much destruction. Lord, for those involved in brokering the ceasefire in Gaza, we give you thanks. We pray that it holds and becomes the beginning of the end to hostilities in this area. For all those caught up in these terrible acts of violence, we pray for your love and comfort to surround them. We would ask that aid quickly reaches those affected. Give governments wisdom as they continue to work to bring about a peace that will last in Israel, Gaza, and Lebanon. Of course, we also remember all the other areas around the globe where open conflict and war are ongoing, especially, of course, remembering Ukraine and Russia. Raise up peacemakers who can help to resolve these conflicts too. Now, in a moment of silence, we name those areas in our world that are on our minds at this time. Lord, for our own government, we also pray. Allow justice, compassion and fairness to rule in our parliament and give our leaders wisdom as they tackle and make new policies. We give you thanks for all the leaders who love you first and foremost and pray that you guide their thoughts as they seek to bring about change. And for the changing government in America, we also pray. The world looks on and awaits what will happen there. Please be in that change, I pray. In a moment of silence, again, we name those things in our own country that are on our minds at this time. For all those we know personally in our church family and community that need a touch from you this morning, we now also pray. And again, we pause to remember those who are on our minds at this time. We offer all these prayers to you now, and be with us as we continue our act of worship this morning. Amen. Our reading this morning is from Galatians, and we read quite a bit of it last week. We're just going to read a small portion of it again this week, and I'm picking up from verse 19 of chapter 5. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarrelling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. You will remember from last week that we're embarking on a journey looking at what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit. All those characteristics that our lives portray when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and work within us. We read that Paul lists the work of the flesh as many and evil, and the Spirit's fruit as lovely and desirable. And these two things are in constant tension and conflict with one another. And the things of the flesh often win out if we're not being attentive to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. And so the challenge for us this morning comes in verse 25. In order for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control to be evident and seem to be growing within us, we must be living by the Spirit and following the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And this, of course, means surrender. Saying, okay, Jesus, I know I muck up and I get things wrong. That my life is not what you intended it to be. But I know you stood in my place on the cross, and that was the only way for forgiveness to take place. I recognize and accept that and know that you, Jesus, can put me right. I can get a new start. I'm simply sorry and want you to take over. And because you defeated death, you can be living and alive within me. Not that suddenly everything will be fixed, as I know I am a work in progress. But because of your great love for me, I can have a real relationship with you. And I can tell you folks this morning that praying a prayer like that and meaning it will mean you will never, ever be the same again. You only have to look around our world to see how much it needs Jesus. Now more so than ever. So I want you to ask yourselves this morning, who is it that is taking a lead in your life? Do you know Jesus? Is he a reality for you? We're homing in this morning on one particular fruit, and it's the last of the first three general Christian virtues. We have love, we have joy, and we have peace. And these three, and when we get to look at all nine, you'll find they're in triads. And the first three seem to be concerned with our attitude towards God. And it's peace in particular we're focusing on this morning. There is love for God, there is joy in God, and there is peace with God. Here it is in the Greek. Any Greek scholars, Philip, in the building, prepared to give a pronunciation a go? It helps, doesn't it? Eirene, translated as peace of mind. This word is derived from the primary verb eiro, which means to join or to tie together into a whole. And I thought, how neat was that? When we join with the Holy Spirit and surrender to God's will, it somehow makes us whole. So many people, you know, are searching for fulfillment in their lives, always seeking the next thing that's going to make them happy and contented. But it never really lasts. somehow that inner peace and contentment drains away. And they're off searching for the next thing, the next fix. But when Jesus enters your life, it lasts. There's a sense of completeness, a sense of wholeness. It's a peace which goes beyond our understanding, as Paul explains it to the church in Philippi. You know, we can fill our lives with all sorts of things, constantly being busy, busy, busy. But God wants us to experience a peace which only He can supply. The word peace is actually used 92 times in the New Testament. And I guess you may be able to bring to mind a few of those verses when the word peace is actually used. And this morning I just want to briefly mention two of them that came to me. It seems to me that there is peace that is cultivated internally. The more we align our spirit with Holy Spirit, the greater our contentment. Paul encourages us not to worry, but to pray. Spending quality time in praise and adoration, as well as petition and intercession, brings us closer to God and that experience of peace. Let's take a look at John 14 for a second. Jesus, who knows his time is short, is cramming in his final instructions to the disciples before his arrest, trial, and crucifixion. He's telling them that he is leaving them physically, but that Father God is sending the Holy Spirit in his stead to be his representative in the world. John uses another Greek word for this, parakletos, which translates as advocate, advisor, or intercessor, a consoler, comforter, or helper. And if you break that Greek word down into its constituent parts, you get a literal translation which would be to call to one's side. That's Holy Spirit, isn't it? One who comes alongside to walk with us, becoming the intermediary between us and God. Now, having told the disciples all that, he then goes on to say in verse 27 of chapter 14, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give, says Jesus, is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. What a great verse. Holy Spirit bringing the gift of peace. We don't understand it, well, certainly I don't anyway, but we have a real assurance that no matter what we face in life, good or bad, when chaos reigns around us, God can bring peace into that situation and our lives. Look, as Christians, we are not immune to what's going on around us. Life still happens, and at times it can be really messy. Jesus never promised that all our problems would suddenly vanish when we surrender our lives to him. But what I do know is that with Jesus, he carries us through these hard times, loving us no matter what. And in a peace and joy that we looked at last week. And it makes no sense at times. But I can still say, in the words of that old school hymn, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus
Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Do you know that this morning? Can you say, yes, Jesus loves me? Do you know that it's really true? Okay, so that's the first point and the end of my singing this morning, you'll be pleased to know. This piece, of course, is an inward thing, the first point. It's a piece in and with God. But it also occurred to me, as we're talking fruit of the Spirit, these things, these characteristics, godly virtues that the Holy Spirit wants to nurture and grow in our lives, at some point, the fruit's got to be visible, right? I mean, the easiest way to tell an apple tree is to see the apples as they grow and develop into wonderful fruit. Yes? Same for oranges and lemons. When you see the orange or the lemon, you know with certainty what the type of tree is, right? It can't actually be anything else. If there's an orange growing on the tree, it can't be a lemon tree, can it? It's got to be an orange tree. So here's the inward soul searching for you and for I this morning. How easy is it for others to see Holy Spirit and these nine fruit in your life when they look at you? By the way you act and behave, would others look at you and maybe notice something different? Can they see something of Jesus? Those of you that use social media, what does your profile and the posts that you write, what do they say about you? Is anything of Jesus reflected in your online presence? What type of fruit are you growing and displaying? And I must confess that I personally fall so short so many times. Whatever happened to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself? So when we think of peace, by its very definition, it's the absence of conflict. And if we look around our world, boy, don't we need to see God raise up some peacemakers. Some people who are given godly wisdom and can help broker an end to some of the trauma and conflict going on in different parts of our globe. But of course, the truth is, we all, as Christians, are called to be peacemakers. Called to demonstrate and grow in this particular fruit, which can only be produced and nurtured by the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul told the Ephesian church, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Now, Paul here was addressing conflict between Jew and Gentile in the church that he was involved in. But of course, this very verse can equally apply to us also. Make every effort. Do everything that is possible. Take time to ensure that. Be alert and attentive to. We should strive to reduce conflict where we see it. Avoid gossip and encourage diversity. The verse here talks about unity, something we've been thinking about this morning, us as we covenant together, being united. But of course, that's not uniformity. We all have different personalities and strengths, and these should be celebrated within our fellowship. And we hold ourselves together with peace. And the neat thing is that it doesn't matter what our gender, age, sexuality, ethnicity, or social standing is. God loves each of us equally and totally. And we should try as far as is possible, given that we can never outlove God, to do the same, because we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus himself said, when addressing the crowd on a mountainside, you may remember, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." Jesus valuing those that endeavour to keep the peace and highlighting the importance of this particular virtue. So let's pray this week that God will cultivate and grow us more into the person he wants us to be, and give us an opportunity to share the Jesus story with someone else who simply needs to know that Jesus loves them. Jesus loves me. This I know. And I really hope that you do too. Amen. We're going to come to our communion table now. And if you're visiting and not sure what we do here, you can allow the emblems to just pass you by. That's absolutely fine. But we come to this table not because we must, but because we may. Not actually because we're strong, but because actually we're weak. We come not because of any goodness of our own, which gives us a right to come, but because we need mercy and help. So I invite you this morning to come. Come because you love the Lord a little and would love to love him more. Come because he gave himself for you and loves you. So let's come and meet the risen Christ this morning, for we are his body. We're going to take a moment to just pause, allow God to bring to our minds those things that we may need to confess to him this morning before we share together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, we come to your table, trusting in your mercy and not in any goodness of our own. You prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. We give thanks for this bread and for this wine, symbols of our world and signs of your transforming love. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that we may be cleansed and renewed into the likeness of Jesus Christ and formed into his body. This we pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" We share bread together, eating individually in recognition of Christ's death, his body broken for each of us. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We share this cup together, retaining it until after all are served, then we'll drink together as a body united in Christ. And so let us drink, remembering that Christ's blood was shed for us. And let us be thankful. God of grace, you have called us to be your disciple people and gathered us to your table. Here we've tasted the bread of heaven and shared the new wine of your kingdom. Empower us by your Spirit, that we may be a gospel people. Good news for all the world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before we sing our final hymn this morning, we're going to say our covenant prayer together. Creating and redeeming God, we give you thanks and praise you for your covenant of grace made for our salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. We come this day to covenant with you and with companion disciples to watch over each other and to walk together before you in ways known and to be made known
Amen.
Covenant God, strengthening and saving God, we claim the promises of your word and ask for your help. By the power of your Holy Spirit, make us bold our vision of your kingdom. Strengthen us to do your will and help us to walk together in your way. Pour down your Spirit that the promises we make this day may be an offering of love, our duty and delight, and that by our life together we may glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This day we give ourselves again to the Lord and to each other to be bound together in fellowship for the sake of the mission and glory of God. Celebrating our shared life, we commit ourselves to belonging and working together in our congregation, in local partnerships, our association, and our union of churches. We pledge all that we have and all that we are to fulfill God's purposes of love.
We're going to finish this morning by standing and singing together. Love divine, all loves excelling. Let's stand and sing this great hymn as we close our service this morning. Let's finish this morning by saying the grace together.
Grace.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Bless you all. Please stay for a tea and coffee and share fellowship together. Amen.